Hello and welcome to the teaching podcast of Coastal Community Church, where our mission is to be love in Jesus Christ to the lost and found in our community. For more information about what Coastal is all about, visit sebastianchurch.com. Now please prepare your heart to receive whatever God may have for you in today's sermon.
Hey, I'm Pastor Seth. Good to see you. I'm one of the pastors here at Coastal Community Church. I want to welcome you. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning. You guys doing okay? You guys must have had your coffee. I heard you singing. It was good. And there wasn't as many people off key as normal, so good job, everybody. By the way, if you're off key, you know, the Bible says make a joyful noise. Yeah. So you're just being biblical. I'm going to share my heart today. I was sharing this with the production team earlier. Actually, I got a text message from them Thursday, and Drew's like, are you sure? Like, this is all there is to your sermon? Just 3 points and a few scripts? He's used to the 13 pages that we've been doing for Breakthrough. And I said, trust me, it'll make up, you know. So then everybody at prayer this morning's, you know, oh, I hear Pastor Seth's sermon is shorter. Yeah, like Pastor Ron's like, hey, don't fall for that, okay? So it's not on, I'm sharing from my heart and not my notes, and apparently if first service is, I went longer than my notes. But I want to share my heart for this church because I believe it's so important for it not to be just me. I mean, obviously, hey, we started in our living room 18 years ago, and it wasn't all me even back then. You know, my wife has the Coastal Kids Ministry back in our bedroom, in our master bedroom in Fellsmere, and I'm preaching along the sliding glass doors, and behind me are bulls playing National Geographic episodes behind me. Cover your eyes, children! And then as you went to go exit to your car, the bulls were always escaping on Sundays. And people would come from Vero and Sebastian, what do we do? You know, walk to your car. Things have changed a little since then. Here we are, and I'm so grateful to get to be your pastor. But I want to make sure that it's not all about me. And so I want to share my heart with you so that you guys can run with what your heart is all about as it connects to the heart of this church. So here's the deal. I've taught a few people how to drive. Lord, I'm still teaching. And so we have a lot of kids. So I've taught 4 kids how to drive. I'm on my 4th kid teaching how to drive. I'm actually on my 5th person teaching how to drive. You guys remember my pastoral intern from Uganda, Eric? You know, just get him to say weapon, way upon. It was so much fun. So he's like, Musumba, can you please teach me how to drive? And I didn't know what I was getting into. And I was like, sure, man. But I remember like how, you know, how they drive over there is, he drives like that, okay? So here's the deal. He's got to learn how to drive, or me and Shelly, right, are going to have to take him everywhere. So I taught him how to drive, and I remember coming back to meet him, and I met him at his house like a few days after he got his license, and I'm standing in the driveway, and I almost lost my legs. And I'm like, dude, who taught you how to drive, okay? And then, so now I'm the 4th kid in. We got one more left. God help us. So this morning, Samantha drove me here. I said, do you want to go with me early like we normally do, which is 6:15, by the way? And she's like, yeah, as long as I get to drive. And I'm like, okay, so let's go. And we got here. And then Garrett, despite my pleading and my alarm, throws his keys to her, to his nice Dodge Ram jacked up diesel thing and says, hey, go put this by your dad's car. And I'm like, no, don't. Don't put that by the car. And he goes, go ahead and take it. And I let her, and I went back to my office, and I'm like, oh, Lord, please. And I'm like, he's like, are you worried about your car? No, I'm worried about this building. I'm worried about everything around here. I'm worried. Okay, here's the thing. What I came to grip with is my son said, he's running cameras back there, and he said, I need to stop moving so much, but you guys will fall asleep and I can't stop moving. So keep up, Mason. What I figured out was that if I don't teach my kids how to drive and go through that painful process, that they won't know how to drive on their own. They won't be able to ever be independent, hallelujah, and move out, make grandbabies, when they get older, and eventually teach their offspring how to drive. Here's the deal. I cannot be the driver all the time. If I'm the driver of this church, it will die with me. If you guys all pile in the bus every Sunday morning for us to get on the bus and find out where Seth's gonna take us this week, man, you will never go anywhere further than me. But if I teach you how to drive, and honestly, sometimes that is not always a fun process. That's a difficult thing in ministry. But releasing you all to be the drivers of this ministry, there is no limits where we can go. This generation is just preparing the next generation to drive. And this church will not be about Seth. It'll be about the next generation and the one after that, because we are teaching people how to drive and discover and experience their own spiritual journey. You guys have got to go farther than me. You've got to go deeper than me. And to do that, I've got to teach you how to drive, and then you guys got to go teach others how to drive. Are you with me? So I'm going to teach you, I'm going to tell you about my heart for Coastal Community Church so that you can drive with that biblical ministry mindset. All of you are leaders. All of you are ministers. So I want to remind you why we're here, so that you can drive correctly for the most part. Stay between the lines, add some creativity, but maybe let's keep it, within 10 miles over the speed limit. You know what I'm saying? You ever sit with your kids and like, they're going 10 over, and I'm like, hey, you're going 10 over. You do it. then their phone beeps, and they're like peeking at it, and I, hey, we're not gonna look at our phone while we're driving. You do it. Here's the thing. If you're gonna be the driver, you're gonna have to be legit. You're gonna have to actually do what you say you want others to do. You're gonna have to drive yourself well before you can teach others how to drive. So let's talk about our mission. So our mission is to live loved by God and to love others with God's love. We first need to understand what it means to be loved by God. Then we are capable, as we've experienced his love, it's overflowing within us. We can love others. Now you may run out of love for a particular person, okay? Don't nudge anyone. You may completely cash out, okay? But you will never run out of God's love for them. And so when you reach the end of your love, you're able to love them with God's love. That's our mission. That's why we have the t-shirts and the bumper stickers and the slogan. Okay, I was making sure. I wasn't sure I was at the right church, just making sure. So here's how we arrive here. Number one, a passion for truth. We have to have a passion for truth. We're going to be at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I have to say that carefully because my mom says I used to call it 1 Thessalonians. Every once in a while it comes out. And like I said, it's not about me, so it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. It'll be on the screen. It'd be great for you to follow along. I know we were having internet issues before. Hopefully they're back, and you can follow along on your web-enabled mobile device. 1 Thessalonians 2. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. That means it was successful. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. You know, we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else. Now, some people would get upset by that. You mean you don't want to please me? And you hear this sometimes as pastors. I'm just not being fed. You know, it's like what we all hate to hear. Like, I can put it on the plate, but you have to decide to eat. And I need you to eat beyond this meal. Because this meal cannot possibly sustain you. We have to have a passion for truth that goes, that leaves the bus on Sunday morning and goes and drives it during the week, every day of the week, spending time in your, we call it chair time, where we spend some time reading the Bible, spend some time praying. If you're not seeking truth on your own, you won't know what it looks like. I hear you, Cookie. She got her coffee this morning. I think she wakes up caffeinated. So here's the deal. It says they had results. But it also says they had strong opposition. Now, in 18 years, we've had some moments of strong opposition. We went through a church merge, God help me. We met in a middle school for 15 years. Set up, tear down. Oh, the plumbing has been turned off to the middle school and we can't have church today, you know. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's fun to like, hey, let's go fishing instead, you know. But it got old. It was strong opposition. I thought everything would be easy because, you know, right, we're doing things right, so everything's going to be easy. No, strong opposition was a part of the journey to effectiveness. Another section in here says, hey, we're not actually trying to please you. We're trying to get the approval of God. We don't have an agenda other than Jesus, the truth of the gospel, spoken and moved forward in our community. You guys know, last week of Breakthrough, I confessed to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have an addiction to approval. You know, I love to be liked, and then I'll stay up at night wondering why somebody doesn't like me instead of just letting it go like some of you are so willing, so able to do. It'll mess with me. And I have to be careful on this one because there's this group of people that say, oh, this is the way. Why don't we do it that way anymore? I like it that way. You know what we used to do up north? This is what we used to. You know what we used to do back in Fort Lauderdale? I don't know who's from Fort Lauderdale. I'm sorry if you are. But this is how we. Oh, my goodness. If I try and please everybody, I will please nobody. I had to learn that growing up growing up as your pastor. You know, I had to actually learn that. That I can't please everybody. Here's the deal. Like, if I try to please this group and then I try to please this group, I might miss pleasing God. I don't have an agenda. In fact, sometimes a politician will call me or email me and say, hey, I'd love to speak to your people. You're welcome. We don't do that. This is a platform for Jesus and no other agenda. We have to have a passion for truth. It doesn't mean that we don't care about politics. My goodness, you better care about politics. This place is crazy, okay? This world's nuts, okay? Care about politics. But we're gonna have a passion for truth, and it probably will impact your politics. And we're gonna leave it there. We're not gonna promote a certain candidate or fly certain flags. We have a passion for truth. Even if there's strong opposition. All right, we're going to move on from that one. Number two, passion for people. Number one, we have a passion for truth. Number two, we have a passion for people. Verse 6 says, as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely, remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you. It says sharing not only truth, but sharing our lives together. This happens best in life groups because you can connect in that smaller group. It's designed to connect and share your lives together. But I want to let you in on a little secret. We can actually connect with one another Sunday morning. If you would not run out the back door as fast as you can right after church is over, they will hold on to your kids for at least 2 or 3 minutes before auctioning off to the lowest, highest bidder. Okay, like seriously, it's okay. Connect with the people around you. Some have said, hey, isn't our church big enough? How can we keep on trying to grow bigger? First of all, I just wanna say, that's not our goal. Our goal is to make sure that as many people know about Jesus as possible. And as we do that, the church probably is gonna grow. And when we moved from one service to two services, there were some people that were like, ooh, I don't know anyone anymore. We had to move to two services. It was easy. It was an easy decision because we couldn't fit anymore. And when we moved to two services, now you have people that attend the first, people that attend the second, and there's people that you don't know. I'm just gonna be honest with you. Before, there was people that you didn't know. And so how big is big enough? I don't care how big this church is. I believe that if we are obedient to the truth, that we love people, that we will be introducing people to Jesus, that they will be putting their faith in him, that they'll be getting baptized, that they'll end up driving their family, their neighborhood, their community because of the Jesus they're introduced to here. So when we start filling chairs, you know, when we start, by the way, we added a few, and you guys are starting to catch up, good, but there's plenty of room here. Keep inviting your friends and neighbors. Because as long as there are people who don't know Jesus outside of here, we have work to do, right? And hey, by the way, the success metric isn't, oh good, they came to our church. But what if, like, through our ministry here, they go to another church? That's a win. If Jesus wins, our goal has been accomplished. How many here have been hurt by religious people? Raise your hand. Anybody? If I had two hands available, I would raise them both. All right, so a few years ago, before this church, I'll preface this by saying there are stupid people in church, and that does not make church wrong. I was a young punk pastor. I had got in trouble for throwing out the couch in my office that smelled like rat pee. And someone donated a brand new leather one, so instead of rat pee, it smelled like leather. It's great, but I got in trouble. And I said I threw it away because it smelled like rat pee because I'm 24 and I don't really care what they thought. And that wasn't very nice. And then my wife and I, we had a miscarriage. And I asked to have the weekend off, and they said no. And a month later, someone in our church who happens to be a person of color got saved, and this child wanted to be baptized, and we scheduled the baptism, and they said, did you ask permission before baptizing a colored boy? And I said, I'm not gonna ask permission for that. And my employment was freed up immediately after. You can imagine I was pretty freaking ticked at church people. In fact, that week after, I was done with church. I wasn't done with God, but I was tired of church people. I don't want to be around church people. I don't want to think about church people. I don't want to be a pastor and deal with church people. In my mind, I quit. You treat my family like this. You treat me like this. I'm out. I got to some pretty dark places. My wife rescued me by saying, hey, you should probably see somebody. And over those years, what I learned is that God was not in that church hurt. Can we please just say that? God was not in your church hurt. God was not in you being hurt by religion. That was not him. Now let me take it another step further, and you may not be here yet. But what you experienced was not God's plan for the church. So you can get ticked off, and you can be self-righteously angry. Please do, because I don't want that crap here. But at some point, we have to decide, in order for it to change, I have to be driving. I cannot sit at home grumpy and upset that church people are stupid sometimes. I have to be willing to get up and be the solution. And I'm talking to us, all of us, team. We need you here. We need you to heal from your church hurt so that you can help others to heal from their church hurt. There has to be a solution. We have to be passionate about people beyond our woundedness. And honestly, like, over the years, like, I've gotten better at handling foolishness. It's something that comes with age, and as my hair begins to, take a fast trip backwards on my forehead, I tend to pick up a little bit of, I can handle it a little better. At some point, though, my kids were affected by church hurt. I gotta tell you, like, there was a split second where I ended up back in that place. But you know what God helped me do? Teach my kids how to drive in spite of church hurt. You cannot take your kids to church, drop them off, subcontract their spirituality to the Coastal Kids workers. Hey, they're gonna do great while they're here, but you better be driving from home. And so your kids will experience some form of religious hurt in their life. You wanna know why? Because there's stupid people that come to church and God loves them. Let me shatter your reality and tell you there are stupid people in your work. So if you needed me to tell you that, you got other issues. Let me tell you, there are stupid people in your HOA, right? It got 10 and a half inches. Your grass was just over, right? There are hypocrites and stupid people everywhere. We have to decide we're gonna drive in spite of that. And I had to teach my kids, hey, sometimes this happens, this is not God. This is not God's plan for the church. I want them to be ahead of where I was at. As a pastor's kid, I watched my dad go through some of that. And I wanted my kids to be far ahead of where I was at. Having a passion for people costs something. It doesn't just cost money to do things. It costs something. It's hard work to do the things that we do so that our community understands that we are the beloved church. It's hard work to host the block party. You know, we don't charge anything for that. It obviously costs money. But like, you guys are the machine that drives that forward. You guys are the smiling faces. When I go and I call the people on the prayer cards that said, hey, I'm interested in your church, and I text them or call them, like, everybody was so friendly. It's because you guys were driving. You guys came here early. You set up. You sat in the sun. You made cotton candy and hamburgers and hot dogs and snow cones and played games over here in the courtyard area. And we did the trick-or-treat bash. And the church had an event right near Halloween because we're redeeming that holiday. We go to Uganda and we bring medical care into the farthest villages from the city, caring for orphans and widows. And like, that thing started really small. One person at Coastal said, hey, I'm a nurse and I'd like to do something medical while I'm there. And so we set them up under a jackfruit tree. That was 10 years ago and 30,000 patient visits ago. God will, when you go, hey, this is how I'm made, this is what I'm passionate about, and then we empower you to drive, God can do great things. Some of you look around and you see this building. I just said we set up for 15 years, right? This doesn't come easy. Some of you are like, yeah, there's still a lot of work to be done. Yes, Lord, help us. Okay, so like this building, parts of this building are 70 years old. This one's 40 years old. And of course, that can't be old. So, but like, it takes a lot of work, and there's people who like make sure that it's ready to be used so that we can have a passion for truth and a passion for people. And so, so Jack has had his hands in every toilet on campus, okay? And Tom's here, Mr. Rosecrans, who made the fellowship hall bathrooms not disgusting. Hallelujah, okay? And we still got work to do. If you go to the bathroom out here in the worship center, I just want to apologize in advance for what you experience. Okay, like, but this is all a part of driving, moving forward so that we make a good impression, so that we can communicate God's truth to everybody who we have the opportunity to connect with. And we're doing three services. We've been doing three services. We did three services for Easter, Christmas. This is our second year in a row doing three services for Easter. So we're like, why do we have to do three services? It's a lot of work. It is a lot of work. But we have people that are dying and going to hell, living in dysfunction. And we will stop at nothing short of foolishness to reach them. So, we have a passion for people. Lastly, we have a passion for authenticity. I'm only a minute late. Awesome, we're doing much better than last service. Passion for authenticity. It is one of our core values. Let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy and righteous and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And I have in my notes here, no bull crap. You know what I'm saying? You need to be too legit to quit. The 90s kids let out a little giggle. You need to be real. Because the fake people are running people off from Jesus as fast as they can. So when they meet someone who says, I follow Jesus, they need to see a difference in your life that says, it does work. This does not mean that we're perfect and we don't make any mistakes or we pretend we're perfect. This means that we know we're not perfect, but God's still working on me. He's still at work in my life. It doesn't matter how old I am or whether I'm a pastor or not. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. And what that does is it sets the bar at a level where entry is possible. Okay, wherever you're at, like whatever you've done, wherever you've come from, Jesus is standing with open arms, ready to receive you. You do not have to perfect all of the church culture. You don't have to know what the hypostatic union is or understand the Trinity. All you have to do is understand the love of Jesus and allow it to change and transform you from the inside out. No bull crap. I cannot claim that I've surrendered to Jesus and enjoy sin without any regret. I need to be real. Being real does not mean that I can do whatever I want because Jesus loves me anyway. The Bible says in Romans 6, how can you continue in sin that grace may abound? Some translations say, God forbid. The original actually says, by no means. It's a strong no, whatever way you got that maybe you can't say in church. That's what it's saying. By no means. That's not the grace of God. The grace of God transforms the life of the recipient. So when the Bible says we are crucified with Christ, we cannot be me-centered. When the Bible says that true religion is caring for the orphaned and widowed, we cannot be absent from those scenarios, unwilling to lend a hand. The Bible says, love your neighbor. We cannot say, do I have to love that one? So set boundaries. It's okay. But we can love anybody with God's love. Authenticity is honesty with God, honesty with myself, and honesty with others. Those three contribute to an authentic life of faith. We're not perfect, but I'm grateful that I can like point around the room and celebrate what God is doing in the lives of our church family. Someone came up to me this morning in first service and said, I'm 90 days clean and sober. Like, praise God. She didn't say, oh, I'm a church lady now. We don't talk about that. No, let's celebrate what God's done in your life. And even if you relapse, the reentry is still there. Come back to Jesus. We don't have to fake anything with him. He loves us no matter what we've been through. Would you bow your heads? Oh, Lord, I want to pray your blessing over our church family. May we have a passion for truth that doesn't compromise, that doesn't even want our preference above your approval. That's contagious with your truth. I pray, Father, that we would have a passion for people that would be so evident as it is as I connect with people who have been here for their first time and they feel welcome. Father, would you prick our hearts to say hello to those around us and to connect with them? Would you help us to love those who are even difficult to love? Would you heal us from our past hurts so that we can love and rescue others from theirs? And would you instill in us authenticity, honesty with you, honesty with ourselves, and honesty with others? Father, I commit this church to you. I surrender. I can't drive it. I can't drive it everywhere. Some of the stuff I don't even know all the details with, because you've sent people worthy, skilled to move forward your work here. So Father, there's more here, more drivers here who you've gifted in certain areas, and we're just waiting to see how you'll use them. So Father, right now we surrender this church to you. May you be honored. May your heart be manifested in this church family. We pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you were blessed by today's teaching. We would love to connect with you, and here are some ways you can connect with us. You can submit a prayer request, find a life group, or check out some of the upcoming events at sebastianchurch.com/go. Join us here again for the next episode.